Everyone? Okay, it is 5 o'clock. We're going to go ahead and start this real property committee. It's March 4th. All committee members are present, as well as the administration. I'd like to acknowledge that the press and public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. Second item on the agenda is the approval of the previous month's minutes of February the 13th. Can I have a motion to approve such minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Perfect. Next item on the agenda is citizens' comments. As always, we welcome the citizenry to come up and voice their opinions and concerns. And if you want to come on up, we'll limit you to 3 minutes, but anybody like to say anything? Now we'll move on to under the next item on the agenda is marina tenant comments or reports. If anybody has anything to report, comment on? Okay. Old business. Update on Marina Dock Rehabilitation Project. Desiree,
yes,
what's going on?
We have a lot of movement, a lot going on, and I asked Kirby Marshall to come in here. It's been a couple months since we've had the pleasure to host him here at City Hall, and although we talk almost weekly, but I wanted him to come in, give us a very comprehensive update on where we are with the Marina Dock Project, and some considerations that we have that options, alternatives that we wanted to discuss with you all, because they may impact the total budget of the project, somewhat likely, but we do want to get your input and bring that before the committee. So without further ado, I will ask Kirby to join us at the table.
Thank you.
Readers?
No. Oh. I probably should. Last year, it just happened.
Yeah. It doesn't get better.
Oh,
you just need a longer one.
I can't read anything anymore. Quickly want to update you guys on a lot of moving parts that are going on with the Marina Rehab Project. The first one is regulatory permitting through the state and Corps. As you are aware, we have received the permit to renovate the docks from the Marina docks from OCRM. There was no public comment on those. There was no appeal that we're aware of. Desiree had signed that document. There was no unusual special conditions or anything to be concerned of in the permit that we saw. So that was something that Desiree signed and sent back into OCRM. At the same time, we forwarded that information to the Corps of Engineers. And the Corps is working on issuing their individual permit for the work. I spoke with Tracy Sanders, the project manager at the Corps, about the status of that, and she has no comments, no concerns, no questions. It's just a matter of her getting to the point in her workload to be able to write that permit. She has one individual permit ahead of this one. So in a matter of a couple of weeks, I would assume we would have the Corps permit, which would entitle you guys to begin our work at that point in time.
We're basically
put it out for bid. Yeah. We have some work to do in the design process, which I kind of leads us right into the next topic that I wanted to provide you an update on. We have been working diligently on the marina plans and specifications and gangways and things like that. We have those just about complete. We've also been working with Aaron Temple of Epic Engineering on the utility design for the electrical plumbing, including potable water, fire protection, and marine pump out, as well as fuel distribution out on the docks. We had a good meeting just this afternoon with Travis of the IOP Fire Department regarding the fire protection plan for the marina that we have drafted. Travis gave us some very good feedback, nothing radical from what we had already designed, so we're well down the road with fire protection design. Potable water is relatively simple. Electrical, we have been in communication with Brian Berrigan in terms of what our thoughts were in terms of providing electrical service to the various slips throughout the marina, sizes, capacities, the receptacles, things like that. We've coordinated with Brian on that, and we're right there. We have a couple of questions for the city that I've talked to Desiree, and she suggested that I come talk to y'all about. Details, we're getting into the nuances. The big pieces of the design have been done. One of the questions that we had and we kicked around was the potential reuse of the existing fuel dispensers on the docks. As you all are keenly aware, the tank replacement out of the marina occurred, I think it was last year. With that, some new piping was done and three new fuel dispensers were placed out on the docks. Those fuel dispensers are located right immediately adjacent to the fuel hut, all in one location, and there's two large hose reels right next to those dispensers. What we were thinking about was the potential to spread the dispensers out on the fuel dock to eliminate those long hose lays that could present trip hazards, things like that, and put the dispensers actually out there with integrated hose reels out on the docks. It'd make it a lot simpler for marina staff and make a lot safer and easier access for marina patrons to know where to go, gas, diesel, things like that. However, we just want to be conscious of the infrastructure investment you've already made. You know, you've got 3-year-old dispensers out there. Those particular dispensers cannot be relocated out onto the docks because they're not weatherproof. They're under that lean-to cover. So if we went and we wanted to spread the dispensers out on the fuel dock, it would present an additional cost. And, oops, I have some pictures that we can look at of this. Let's go to the...
That's not it.
That's not it. That's dredging. We'll get to that. Maybe.
We'll get there, Kirby.
Mm-hmm. There's a picture. That's a pump out. We'll get to that one in a minute, too. You can see the fuel dispensers up under the lean-to in that photograph, though. Yep. They're right located immediately adjacent to the hut. These are some dispensers we just recently put in on a project in Maine. And they're standalone stainless steel enclosed dispensers. And
those are fuel dispensers?
Those are fuel dispensers. And they have integrated hose reels, digital displays, really state of the art, nice, but not, I mean, not,
and
not
yeah. cheap.
Not a, but they're not over the top either. Right. But they're not, yeah, there's a cost. So there's a better picture, I think, of the front side of one of those. Desiree. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So that shows you the hose reel is really integrated into that unit. One of the reasons we really were contemplating this for this project was the amount of space that the existing dispensers and hose reels take up on that fuel dock. It's pretty substantial. And if you can open one of the PDFs that I can tell you which one is which if I see the list. Sorry, Desiree. No, there's another one. No, another one. That's it. And if you scroll down a few pages, it'll show us a zoom in of the fuel dock layout as it stands now. Probably page 10 or so, I'd say. These are just some of the design plans for the docks that we've worked up that I mentioned. So we're pretty far along with these, but there is a there's some utility plan. Actually, no, there's a dock layout plan of the fuel dock that's pertinent. Almost there. Some of the dimension drawings for the new dock system. And there we can see a little bit. I have a zoom in of the fuel dock. Yeah, if the next slide maybe, or the one after. Yeah, must be the next. It's still coming. There we go. So you can see the three, you can see the fuel hut And then on the right of the fuel hut are the two bait tanks where Brian keeps the mud minnows. Mm-hmm. Those, and what Desiree just pointed to are the big hose reels. And they're about 6.5 feet long. Those are the plywood encased hose reels, about 3 feet wide. So really big and heavy pieces of equipment. And then behind those are the three fuel dispensers. So it's not the most efficient layout, but rather than just say, oh, well, we're just going to throw those away and commit the city to new dispensers, we wanted to bring that to your attention and get your feedback. So I think the delta of cost on those is, I wrote it down, I have it here, it's probably about $30,000. If we reuse If we reuse the existing, the cost is what it is. If we want to do the new ones, $30,000, maybe $35,000. You do have some Tier 1 voting infrastructure grant funding in place to help offset costs for the dispensers and hose reels that couldn't be applied to the existing ones. But if you want to utilize that, the total net impact would be about $30,000-$35,000.
We don't have another use for that right now, that Tier 1 fund.
It's specifically allocated to specific items within the redevelopment. So there's a portion of the money allocated to the fuel hut. There's a portion of the money allocated to fuel piping, which we can use, and the fuel hut as well. And there's a portion of the money allocated to fuel dispensers and hose reels. And it's that.
But what we don't use goes away.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So. I didn't want to write that check for you. I thought I'd bring it up.
But, I mean, we don't, obviously, we can put that as a bid alternative in our... Yeah.
The problem with that is it would require a different design plan.
Okay.
So, and we've... The design plan that we had for that was priced very tightly because that was a competitive RFP, so we don't... I mean, I'm not talking a lot of... It's not a lot of money.
Right.
There'd be a couple thousand extra bucks in design.
Decisions have to be made.
As soon as
practical. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
So we're looking, you know, if we want to get this out to bid this summer, we need to complete the design as soon as possible just to allow you have.
We could treat this the same way we did the public safety building.
Well,
I'm talking about in terms of the way that we move forward and say if we do it this way, fine. However, that and put it in front of Ways and Means.
The problem with that is they need an answer on the approach so that they can finalize the design that will be going out for bid. So we did talk about whether or not there's an opportunity for a bid alternate or deciding down the road, but you know,
you need an answer from us today.
Yes.
That's where I was heading.
I do.
Okay. Yeah, I meant so that with the new hose reel dispensers, move forward on the dock, basically?
They'd move out onto the dock, and they'd be spread out along the length of the dock.
Correct.
To allow multiple boats to fuel simultaneously without dragging hoses up and back, which is for personal use. When I fueled up there this summer, we were at the far end, and you'd get the little kids out to go to the store. It's
life expectancy of the equipment?
About 15 years.
What do we have left and what we have?
It's already rusting. It's year old. Mm-hmm. So, again, those...
Making the answers easy, aren't you?
Those are a different unit. They're not weatherproof. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
We would recommend going with with spreading the dispensers out from a safety perspective, particularly considering the wholesale renovation of the facility.
Do you need a motion?
Yes, we would need a motion to make those
changes. I'll
make
a motion to proceed with the new... tanks.
The new replacing with the new dispensers.
Particularly based on life expectancy of what we have, we don't need to do this again later.
Yeah. And there may be some salvage value to the existing dispensers, which we could certainly put into the bid.
Okay.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
A motion and a second?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of weight in one spot just by utilizing that one little area. Yeah.
And that...
It could cause a lot of issues.
You guys have probably seen that that's one of the most critical areas of the marina in terms of stress and damage, is around that fuel lot, because there's so much weight and utilities in that area. So this will really help.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Good.
Similar
yes.
to that, you'll see that little box on the top side. That is the marine pump out, which is an older unit. Again, didn't know if you wanted to reuse it or put a new one in there. There is a Clean Vessel Act grant that will pay for 75% of whatever you do with that.
Perfect.
Is there any useful life left in that one?
I'm sure there is, but there have been some failures.
I was going to say, we've had failures
in there. That already.
Yeah. So we could replace, and we do intend on replacing all the piping from that unit back to the upland, but it may be in your best interest, particularly considering available grant funds, which are available to any applicant. They're not competitive.
Cost, roughly?
It would be the 25% match.
Of what? 25% match. About $30,000 all in, piping and the unit and everything, so you get 75% of that back.
Is there a limit to that grant?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. We're pursuing one for 100. It has to be related to marine sewage containment and things like that, but it does also cover engineering costs and any upland connections and things like that that are associated with the system. So, I think, definitely maximize the grant ask for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty straightforward grant.
Another motion?
Yep.
I would make a motion to pursue the pump out.
And I'll second it.
Perfect. Cool. Where would the location of that be? Would it remain the same spot, or would you see it in a better spot? Or?
Probably out on the dock a little bit more, maybe in between some of the fuel dispensers, just to give folks a little bit, maybe more centrally located.
Okay.
We'll work with Brian on that to figure out where he feels the most appropriate location is.
Got it. Cool.
Is there any type of warranty that comes along with something like that?
Mm-hmm. Usually it's about 5 years. So, but something else to keep in mind, the Clean Vessel Act grant will also pay for maintenance.
Really?
Of those systems.
For how long?
It's going to be quite some
second. Ad infinitum.
Really?
Forever, yes. Every year. You can make application every year for maintenance of your pump-out system.
Perfect.
So maintenance is on an annual basis?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's a really good program, obviously.
And good to have one that works.
Yeah.
So does the motion include pursuing the grant funds as well?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the idea.
Okay. For the record.
Well, if it was 30,000 was our 25%, I mean, without the grant, would make a big difference in our decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yes. Okay. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Yeah. Okay. You got that. Fuel dispensers.
Pump out. And that's it. We're moving on to update Marina restaurant lease proposal.
I have a few more topics.
Yes.
And more money.
If you don't mind. Yes. One, I just want to bring to your attention, I don't know that we need to make a decision today. Actually, there's two more topics. I will talk about the electrical design first. Pretty straightforward. We are going to require new transformers out on the site to serve the new docks, simply because of the current National Electric Code requirements, new NEC requirements. They're different than they were 30 years ago when this thing was built, which probably wasn't built to any standard then. So we're going to need some new equipment out there. We thought that this may be an opportune time, since we're already going to require some new equipment, to start thinking about streamlining some of the utility services that feed the different aspects of the site. Specifically, I think you all are aware of the large transformer that's kind of in the middle of the parking lot as you approach the boat ramp. Mm-hmm. That thing has been the bane of many a trailer boater's existence, and I'm sure Brian's, and we thought that this may be an opportunity to redo the site electrical distribution a little bit enough to get rid of that and to remedy the sinking transformer and panel over by the restaurant. Yeah. You know, that pad's starting to sink, things like that. So Aaron and I met with Dominion Energy on site a couple of weeks ago and talked about service and different options and things like that. And without giving you the details, and again, this is not something I think we need an answer on tonight, but maybe just to put in the back of your mind for next month, is if we were to redo the site electrical design, get rid of that transformer in the middle of the parking lot, and put it in a more appropriate location that would be out of the way now and for the foreseeable future. We're talking about an additional add for equipment and associated trenching for cables of about $60,000. So just something to put in the back of your mind. It seems like we could really clean up the site. It's additional money over and above what we had talked about for Marina. It's not necessary to do what we need to do here, but it would result in a much cleaner project and site in the long term. Seems like it's the right time to do it.
Desiree, current thoughts on financing, right? Obviously, we're not writing a cash check. What are we looking at over what period of time?
For the dock project?
Because this stuff would be
rolled into the dock project. We are looking at a $3.4 million total, including contingency. Mm-hmm. And the way that we have built the first draft of the budget assumes a 20-year term. And I do want to mention that in terms of the electrical, we do have the non-standard service fund with Dominion Energy, which would provide matching funds to the city for undergrounding utility lines. I've reached out to them about some information on how to pursue that, because we did talk about the potential to underground the utility lines down 41st mm-hmm. Avenue. Towards the marina as part of just cleaning up the site. And eventually, you know, it would be, it was part of the initial plan when for the marina referendum plan to maybe pipe that area mm-hmm. and enhance, expand the amount of available right-of-way and public parking that could be accommodated there. So that's coming down the pipeline.
I mean, the reason for the question was, you know, it's one thing to look at and say, you know, $75,000 to $100,000. It's mm-hmm. another thing to look at spread over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And over that like period of time, what's the likelihood of having to do this at additional expense mm-hmm. during that same time frame? Right? And mm-hmm. Aaron's nodding his head. I think, you know, we're looking for recommendations as well, not ways to spend more money, but
the smart way.
The smart way to spend the money. Yeah.
And like you had indicated, one of the transformers are already within, would have to be something going to have to be done with it.
Something's going to have to be done with it.
Yes.
Over by the bulkhead. And then we also considered, you know, there's obviously some changes likely forthcoming with the restaurant. Mm-hmm. These transformers could be integrated to serve whatever goes in there okay. as well. So you'd have we've got that one transformer right there along Morgan Creek. It's taking up valuable real estate, right? The one that's mm-hmm. that happens also to be sinking. Mm-hmm. That's taking up some pretty valuable real estate that could otherwise be used by the restaurant in some mm-hmm. fashion. Mm-hmm. Get that transformer out of there and clean up the view, make it safer, things like that. So I think it makes a lot of sense to kind of pursue this, but again, it's not something that we wanted to.
Would it hurt asking, I'm not, whether or not with Dominion, whether or not we could use part of our non-service standard to, with, let's call it maintenance of our underground wiring over there, mm-hmm. move, with those panels?
Yeah, I did ask that question. Okay. They haven't gotten back to me yet, but okay. Not sure if that would be considered eligible, but we could definitely make the argument that it's all connected. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're good. We'll keep that on the radar.
Something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought of a new location?
We have. We have some up there. Two options.
Is it a PDF?
It is. And we might
guess which one.
That one.
There you
bingo.
Go.
It's hard to see how if you could blow it up. Is it right?
Let's try to figure it out because I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
There it is.
Oh.
There you go.
That's good. Aaron, please correct me while I'm making the error.
No problem.
So, I'm sorry. Randy.
You're fine.
Uh-oh. There we go. Okay, so the existing island transformer's right here, which is the one that you kind of have to figure your way around when you get out of there, when you're approaching the boat ramp. So we talked to Dominion about...
It's fine.
We talked to Dominion about getting rid of this and relocating the transformer here in that grassed area, which happened, it's grass now, and in the redevelopment plans, really all of them that were developed a few years ago, it was still a grassed area. So it seems to be a nice area to fit that no matter what happens eventually with the upland. So it would go there. We would still need one adjacent to the lift station, which is, I think that is Isle of Palms Water and Sewer Commission owned property. So we need a small one there. We'd get rid of that, and then we'd put one right here next to this building. Brian indicated that he would be pleased to relocate the paddleboard rental hut. Is that right? And there's a nice area between where that hut is now, which is just a temporary structure, and the marina store. It's tucked up. It's out of the way. No one would see it. You could fence it off very clearly, but still provide truck access for Dominion. We reviewed that with Dominion on site, and they were good with it. And then this transformer down here, which is on a pole, would have to be upgraded to serve this area over here.
You have an estimate?
There would have to be some sort of transformer and a panel here as well, in any option to serve the docks. But we have some flexibility on where that's located, and I'd probably want to locate it a little bit away from the water's edge where that really valuable real estate is.
There's no criticality of dates around getting these decisions related to the overall design?
There is, but it's not as roughly essential. Aaron?
Next month?
I need the decision as soon as possible. Once it's made, I'll need about 2 or 3 weeks to finish up the design. To back into your schedule within the next month.
Right. Month or 2 months at most.
So everything does really kind of ties into ways and means schedule.
Yes.
Okay.
So that plan is the $60,000.
That plan shows a third option on there, which I didn't really discuss, which is $150,000 extra. I didn't want to bring that up because
good idea.
Aaron did it, and I said, and it doesn't really get you anything more than the one cleanup does.
Okay.
So that's that. And I'll send that to you so you can think about it.
Perfect.
Okay. And then lastly, and I'll get out of your hair because I know you want to go home dredging. I know that the city had dredging budgeted for this year in some form or fashion. We thought, just as we were doing these plans, that, hey, it would be a good idea while we rip the docks out, demolish everything, it would be easy to go in there and dredge. Go ahead and dredge it out while nothing's in the way. It'd be easier, faster, cleaner, and all that. We looked at the water depths. Do you have that? Did you unplug it?
Oh, yes, I did. I'll try to plug it.
You can talk to it. I have the really the coolest figure I have. So we thought it would be a good idea to dredge. We looked and found that the city's existing dredging permits have expired. So there would need to be a permit process associated with dredging to occur to enable that. That is a process similar, unfortunately, to Marina. Not quite as long, but it would require a permit application to OCR and the Corps. Would require some sediment sampling and things like that. So it's a little bit of a process. We also looked at the bathymetric survey that we had done in the marina in 2016 and compared that against the negative 12-foot contour, which is the depth to which the marina was last dredged, I think, 2013 or 14, something like that.
13? Brian?
I'm going 11th.
11 or 12? Oh, yeah, because that's when they...
So we have... I'm going to step up here. Apologize. So the white is essentially the 12-foot contour. The blue is deeper, and as you get lighter blue, it gets a little bit shallower, and the red becomes really, really shallow. You know, this is essentially marshland. So what we see in here, through this, really quickly, these color codes, is there's not a lot of sedimentation in this area. There's more sedimentation over here and then over by tidal wave dock, which Michael corroborates as he tells us how the mudflat is encroaching there, and that's so this all stands to reason. That being said, you know, we're talking about ripping out these docks and working in this area. When we ran these calculations and to see how much volume there was that would need to be dredged out to give us a negative 12 contour, there was only 5,000 or 6,000 cubic yards of material. So mobilizing a dredge and getting them in here and just dredging out 5,000 or 6,000 yards probably doesn't make a lot of financial sense. I talked to Brian to see if there's any hot spots that he was aware of, and he kind of echoed the same sediment that we saw. Was it starting to get shallow along the shoreline, which is shown in the teal blue, and then of course over on the intracoastal side, it's a lot shallower, particularly by the outfall and the water sports dock. So we said, okay, well, this for this project on Morgan Creek, maybe it doesn't make sense, but we're dealing with a survey that's 4 years old. It might make sense to, one, update that survey, because things can easily change in that time period, particularly with these fine sediments we're dealing with, and two, initiate that permitting process for the dredging so that you're ready to go when you want to go. We also talked to Wild Dunes to see what their plans might be, because it would be cheaper if y'all got together and shared that mobilization cost when you dredge. They're not planning to dredge for 4 or 5 years, according to Lori Schuler over there. So that need to, or that opportunity to immediately do the dredging or piggyback into the dredging, it's not there, but we do recommend that you start the process.
So we talked about what we legally have responsibility to do and must do within the budget cycle. So this one just thoughts we should look at what we absolutely must do and probably have some discussions with Brian as to his needs and willingness to participate. Because, I mean, ultimately we're going to wind up doing it some years down the road, but I think in this particular budget cycle we need to be attentive to what big chunks we already have to spend.
And I know we've, whether it's Wild Dunes or if you're talking about the same thing, but Dewey's Island Yacht Harbor is also, I'm not sure where they're at in their planning process, unless that's the same.
Different entity.
Yes, that's what I thought. Entity. So I know
they're,
I mean, I'm assuming that doesn't just go dark blue right where they start. I mean, I'm sure they're having a lot of the same issues.
Yeah, especially when it wraps around the corner. Yes. But they're, we're doing work for them as well, permitting their marina replacement.
And that's what I was going to ask about. Is there dredging associated with that?
No.
Okay.
So I would, they do have some sedimentation issues, but nothing dramatic. The boats over there are a lot smaller.
Right.
So it doesn't affect them quite as much.
Yeah.
I would anticipate they're on about the same schedule as Wild Dunes.
Okay.
Just so that you all know, but we have included some funds for your consideration in the proposed FY21 budget for the bathymetric study to update that data and to pursue permitting for the dredging.
Mm-hmm. Permits good for how long?
Five years, easily extendable for 5 months.
That's what I thought.
We can have it for 10.
Yeah. It's going to be a little trickier because the Corps of Engineers has started to tighten up the use of the spoiled basins side. They hold easements over on the intracoastal, including the one you used last time. So I think starting that process and negotiation to lock up where you want to put this sediment should start sooner rather than later, because it's not going to get any easier.
Because if we have to go all the way out, it becomes cost prohibitive almost.
Right.
Or into the parking lot and let it dry and then haul it off, which
that is for
yes,
geotubes.
Yeah. So yes. Okay. Do you need this action from us?
No.
Thank you.
We'll talk about appreciate it. Appreciate your
time. Thanks, Kirby.
Do we need to make a motion to do the survey and the...
You all will consider that as part of the budget.
As part of our budget process.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Kirby. Thanks,
sure.
Chris.
My pleasure.
Update on Marina restaurant lease proposal.
Well, we are continuing to work with the with John Haley and the IUP Families Group. Mm-hmm. City Council, the last action that City Council took was to extend the
due diligence
period and exclusive negotiations with them. So we are working hard and very diligently with them and make sure that we get a good deal on both sides very soon.
Okay. You guys have any...
We do have some executive session for later tonight for legal advice. So.
For later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Weren't we expecting a parking plan?
Yes. Well, we are working with the with Brian Berrigan, who is responsible for parking management, and having those discussions as we speak.
Mm-hmm. So, just the comment. I mean, the big critical issue that I think we're all aware of, without a parking plan soon, we're going to be staring down another extension and the possibility of not having a bid to go forward with. So, I mean, from my perspective, I'd like to get a date on that parking plan and know when we're actually going to have a parking plan instead of, you know, the conjecture that we have right now.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. And correct.
I think it's will be here soon.
Okay.
Okay. That way.
John, do you have anything to add?
Not at this time, no.
Okay.
I'm looking at two Johns right
now. Right, yeah.
Or John.
Okay. update on the modified beach permit.
So as you all know, the city requested to OCRM a modification to our beach renourishment permit. We had a number of properties that were exhibiting severe erosion in front of their property. Reached out to OCRM for the process by which they could restore the dune that is in front of their homes. Normally, if the dune erosion is within 20 feet of the habitable structure, the state could issue an emergency order. That is not the case. However, the erosion seems to progress, and they reached out to the state requesting guidance on the process by which they could apply for approval from the state, who is the entity who has jurisdiction, to restore the dune. The state reached out to us and said the city has an active permit for the whole beach. Well, not for the whole beach, for the beach renourished area and this area, knowing, as you all know, we have also funds in the budget for a feasibility study, knowing that that has becoming an erosion hotspot. So they recommended that the city submit a modified request to the permit. No, it doesn't cost the city anything. Rather than each individual property owner submitting a individual permit request to the state. We have done that. That goes through the same process with OCRM, goes through public notice. The public notice, I think, ended last Friday or Thursday of last week. And now they'll evaluate it from an environmental standpoint and then issue approval of the work. They will contract with, they will have a contractor. The individual property owners are splitting in the cost. Not the city, and they have to, you know, they would be pursuing the work in accordance with the permit.
So to the homeowners themselves will secure the contractor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The city's just participating in facilitating the modified, the permit. It's not up to the city to approve or deny that project.
Correct.
It's the OCRM.
Really?
Yeah, so... I'm assuming Dr. Smiley copied the two of you on concerns about the city using our permits, or possibly not.
I don't think I see.
I'm gonna try to do justice. I met with Dr. Smiley over the weekend on this, and there was concern expressed about the city being the proxy for private homeowners. I went through, as best I could understand, the permitting, the documentation, and our use of. And there were, I think, some fairly legitimate concerns. One is setting precedent going forward for repeating this process. It's when you read the permits, there's dune restoration, there's beach restoration, under emergency conditions. There are a lot of what would appear to me to be some flags in there that say we need to kind of go cautiously when we say just use our permits. There's also a section, it's roughly from Breach Inlet through Second Avenue, where there were some concerns expressed as well. What happens when we dredge, you know, approximately a foot of sand, and I think it's 6,000 cubic yards, move that sand, is there an impact on other areas? And when you start looking at the big picture, is there a city liability involved? Should we have any issues during the construction time? You know, anybody gets hurt, any issues? Because we're now part of a process that was begun by individual private homeowners. There is an option, you know, there's no ability for the city to say you can't do this. The concern that was expressed to me is, should the city be a participant or should we stand down and say, look, we understand the beach erosion issues, but every time this happens, we're going to be coming up on this again, trying to use our permits, when in fact we might want to set precedent that if it's private homeowners' business, that it should be handled by private homeowners. And I would ask to, you know, ask Dr. Smiley if there's any comments on that, because I know I didn't do it justice, but I was scheduled to have a meeting with Desiree to discuss this topic, hopefully later in the week.
Just a quick comment, just reminding everybody about the 2008 and the 2018 beach restoration project. That was also a sort of public-private partnership between the private homeowners, the resort. So there is precedent in the city participating with property owners and other organizations, well, you know, private organizations certainly. So, you know, I think that it's more about, does the city entertain a retreat policy? You know, there's erosion, we're not doing anything about it. And I think that the city's history has been protecting and preserving and enhancing the dry sand beach. So, you know, I think when you look at the two beach restoration projects that have done, they have both been done under the city's permit. The city has participated financially, not in the same percentage as the private stakeholders. Their percentage was much higher. For this project, it's small. The city is not participating financially in any way. So I think that, you know, the property owners are being proactive in trying to address the situation, not expecting the city to use, you know, beach restoration or beach preservation funds to address the erosion. So I think that we saw it as a good public-private partnership between individual homeowners that are experiencing some erosion, and all we're doing is facilitating a permitting process to allow them to address the situation faster, earlier rather than later.
Is there any, or can we develop some kind of hold harmless, against liability against the city if anything was to go wrong?
Yes.
I mean, I know anybody can sue anybody for anything at any time, but at least having
protection.
Yeah. I think on the bigger issue, I think it's in the best interest of this full committee to understand the issues and not just say this is okay. I mean, we're in essence restoring an area that allows for the walkovers to be built, and I believe it's 12 feet above mean high tide, so it's significant. It's not going to be impacted by normal tides. It literally is that area that eroded. And I understand why the homeowners want to do it. I mean, I don't blame them at all. I just think there were some legitimate concerns brought up as to how those permits are applied.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. We have next is update on the public safety rehabilitation project.
We are very close to executing the contract that was approved by council last week. We are also very deep into the relocation process with police and fire moving into the trailers that are located in the parking lot behind the public safety building. I believe as of the last information I got this morning, the only thing that we're waiting on is the water hookup, and that is scheduled to happen early next week.
Okay.
What day is today?
late this week.
This week.
Yes.
Certainly critical path.
Yes, very critical. We have a kickoff meeting tomorrow with the Trident team, Coast Architects, and Insight. And we have also reached out to Insight and requested a revised proposal for potentially expanding the scope of their work as we were expecting from the very beginning. So we've already had that conversation and we'll solidify that tomorrow. So excited.
Yeah. Yes,
thanks for that.
I'm excited to get it done, certainly, and move everybody back.
Yeah. Okay, new business. Consideration of rent abatement for Morgan Creek Joint Ventures.
Marina Joint Ventures.
Marina Joint Ventures.
MJV.
Yeah.
So as you all know, we had a portion of the base dock fail back in May of 2018. And back in April of last year, another section of what we call the restaurant dock, it's on the Morgan Creek side, also collapsed. It's roughly 125 feet of dock space that Brian has not been able to lease or use because of the damage. I was hoping to have that number for you all today. We'll bring that to Ways and Means.
Okay.
We're working through the formulas and trying to decide what that number looks like and the days that, you know, that he has lost of revenue. And we're planning on, again, we'll bring it up before Ways and Means for full council consideration, but know that that's on the pipeline and that's coming your way for consideration.
Okay. Randy, anything?
We did submit, FYI.
We've been talking about it for a long time.
Yeah,
we did submit insurance claims for those two incidents, but they were denied because they were not caused by a named storm.
Or we couldn't prove it.
Correct.
Yeah. And, you know, we believe, based on the evidence, we believe that it was due to wake action and just the poor condition of those docks.
Consideration of temporary management arrangement for docks at Intercoastal Waterway.
Yes, you all know, I have a copy of the dock space that we're talking about. Although you're all experts on this already. Okay, so that portion of dock historically has been assigned to the restaurant lease tenant. Currently, you know, as you all know, Morgan Creek Grill has closed. He's no longer operating there, and we are eager to get a contract with our new potential new tenant. But in the meantime, those docks are not being maintained. They're not being supervised, and they're not being policed. And we believe that we know that we have to have some sort of arrangement to protect the city from liability from the use of those docks. They are being used unauthorized by some folks, and the city doesn't have the staff, doesn't have the capability to be there day in and day out to just make sure that, you know, they're not being used improperly. So I had a conversation with Brian. He's already there. He's, you know, a good tenant. He takes care of the docks and as much as he can, just, you know, based on the condition of the other ones. And we're proposing, or as an alternative for the city, to enter into a temporary agreement with Brian to have, to supervise and take, you know, manage these section of docks. It's smaller than what you see here marked, because as you all know, we have allowed the Fenn brothers to put in the, what's it called, the jet dock that has to be that had to be relocated from the intercoastal dock due to the encroachment to the 125 foot setback. So we believe that there's roughly 100 feet, Kirby, I'm looking at you, roughly 100 feet of dockable space there for the restaurant dock. 100 and 150?
At least.
So I just wanted to bring it up to you all, see if you have any ideas, considerations. We can develop some sort of proposal to bring before you all on how this could be structured. I've had some conversations with Brian to see how we can structure this on a month by month basis, knowing that, you know, we will have a restaurant there and this would be assigned to them. Our initial thoughts was that this could be used for short-term boat slips for residents.
And Brian said because it would be temporary, month to month, he wouldn't do it for more than, he wouldn't rent it for more than a week.
So let me back up for Kevin's purpose more than anything. Did that dock at one time was part of the Morgan Creek Grill lease when the lease was renewed with the prior council, going back beyond 2 years ago. It was separated from that with discussion with that then real property committee saying, well, since Morgan Creek Grill doesn't really use it, et cetera, and Jay Clark was late several weeks in signing his contracts, they took those docks away. We gave Jay Clark a one-year seasonal extension, which was
for
what
restaurant,
was the intent.
For restaurant use only.
For restaurant use only, exactly, which was the intent at that time. I will say it wasn't just restaurant use only.
No.
Last year, that was largely unattended again, and the Fenn brothers did ask, can we use that dock? And literally, it was for no more than several weeks. Right. I think one thing before us is that dock's intent is to go with the restaurant, mm-hmm. or has been always to go with the restaurant. I think anything we do for this season needs to look at revenue opportunities for
mm-hmm.
the city
mm-hmm.
and compliance to all OCRN permits, and we should allow Desiree to develop a proposal as such.
Mm-hmm.
And that we, you know, no offense, Brian, we're not just trying to hand additional monies over to the marina, but we need to be smart with this because we're in the middle of, you know, deciding what that waterfront looks like.
Anything to do with bringing in money?
Yes.
Cash flow.
Okay. Desiree, do you need anything from us to point you in that direction? Or?
A motion would be nice.
Okay.
Can I just say I make a motion for what I just said?
That's a motion.
No, Nicole, I know that doesn't
like
work.
That.
I make a motion that we entertain entering into an agreement with the marina operator as to the potential for that for this season on a temporary month-to-month basis. Does that work?
Yep. I'll develop a proposal for that.
And I'll second it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Great. It'd be great to see an area where, like I said, if you can make it for residents, even if short periods of time, to put the boat in for a little bit. So, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Discussion of preliminary results. This is what we've all been waiting for. Results from the marina.
Hot off the press.
Marina, citizens' input.
So this is very preliminary, as you can see by the watermark document, and so I'll give a quick presentation.
Overview of it. Yeah.
A brief overview, and the plan is to finalize the report by this month. The mayor has asked for a special city council meeting to talk about the marina and the alternatives and decisions that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure that you all have this and all of the backup information as well. So what we did is we took all of the comments that the city received. As you all know, let me back up. As you all know, the city council has been wanting to hear feedback from the community about their vision for the Isle of Palms Marina, knowing that there are decisions being made, decisions being considered, leases that have expired, leases that have not been renewed, and to have an opportunity to hear back from the community before those decisions are finalized. So we created a couple of options for people to provide feedback. One was through an online form. That online form was open from January 3rd through Friday, February 21st. However, we have received some comments after that, and those mm-hmm. have been included as well. The city also held a community workshop at the Recreation Center on January 30th. Where 94 people participated. There were a lot of people that showed up at the Recreation Center with the intention to participate, and unfortunately, because of a fire code restrictions and the fact that we had a set number of facilitators, we were not able to accommodate more than that. However, we directed folks to the online form, and some people hand-filled the same questions there and handed them over. So for the online survey, if you will, we received 191 entries during that period. I included a breakdown of the entries by stakeholder type. Of the 191 entries,
95% of them were citizens of the Isle of Palms. 145 of them were full-time residents. 23 indicated that they were part-time residents, 14 non-residents, and then 9 visitors. And these were folks that, one from Mount Pleasant, one from Charleston, five from Mount Pleasant, one from Charleston, from Charlotte, Tennessee, and Indiana. Lots of interest in Indiana. Then I also included a breakdown of the participants at the workshop. Again, the overwhelming majority were full-time residents, 90% or 85 people, 4 part-time residents, and 1 non-resident property owner, and just 1 person from Mount Pleasant, which she was a very, very lovely lady. I remember her.
No one from Indiana.
There were 3 participants that did not include a stakeholder type, so we can't identify whether full-time residents or part-times, but they did have an Isle of Palms address.
Okay.
in the sign-in sheet. So we split the methodology that we use to analyze the results included identifying the indicators in each comment. So each comment sometimes included multiple things. So we created a system to identify all of those indicators per comment. Per question. So we had, y'all recall, we had three major questions, very broad. And the first one was, what amenities, if any, should the marina start offering? So the overwhelming majority of those indicators show that people really want a restaurant. And in that category, we included those comments that were associated with a restaurant and with additional dining options. Then we also had the second, from greatest to lowest,
yeah.
We had public dock, dedicated kayak, and stand-up paddleboard launch. So we categorized those comments, whether they were indicating that they wanted a public dock for crabbing or fishing or just looking at the water. Those that also indicated that they wanted space for residents for free, dedicated to launch their kayak and launch their boat. So those are included in one category. Then we also had the 3 major categories were those 2 and green space, park, and kids playground. There was a lot of emphasis on family-friendly event amenities, kids playground, green space, park. So, you know, some of the comments that indicated that they wanted, you know, people wanted green space or a park-like environment. I didn't want to make the assumption that that meant a public dock. But if sure. You know, so that those are separated because of that reason. The fourth category that received the most number of indicators were parking improvements and more free parking for residents. They also more dock space, more boat slips, and more opportunities for boat launching. Water sports was included in this, although that is something that the city already. The marina already offers, same as boat launching and dock space. Other in that category, in the final report, I'll expand more on the other. Those were just items that couldn't really be fit in a category. There were 1 or 2. Some of them included bathroom, water fountains.
Yeah.
Somebody really asked for a dock. Somebody really wants a dock relief station. So Ryan, if you can make that happen. You know, more amenities for residents and locals, events, music, that was something that we saw a lot of. A lot of love for the marina store. We saw that throughout all of the questions. So the other question that the city asked of folks was, what amenities, if any, should the marina continue to offer or expand upon? Again, consistent with what we just talked about, restaurant and bar was the number one thing, the number one indicator. People are very eager to get a restaurant there, as we all are, but that was very clear throughout the entries. Water sports, that was the second thing that people indicated that they wanted to continue to see at the marina. For water sports, there were a couple of indicators there. There were folks that said motorized water sports,
some, you know, jet skis, tidal wave. So mm-hmm. we all group that together in one category rather than keeping them, you know, they mean the same thing. So that's when you see water sports, it's taking all of the indicators, including jet skis, mm-hmm. Parasailing, and tidal wave. The next thing, you know, that the people indicated that they wanted the marina to continue to offer or expand is more boating services, which I thought was interesting. A lot of emphasis in improving the boat ramp and the mm-hmm. boat docks and the docks. Mm-hmm. The fourth was...
Just out of curiosity, we didn't define services, though.
Amenities? For boating services?
What was specific to...
Rentals, just boating yeah. activity. Yeah. Green space park, that was the fifth thing. Improved parking and increased resident parking, again, consistent mm-hmm. with the other question that you saw. A lot of preference for residents. Mm-hmm. The residents of the community really right. want to feel like they are a part of the marina, that there are amenities that are exclusive to them, and that there are no they're not being affected by non-residents taking maybe what they believe is to be theirs, whether it's boat slips for non-residents, boat launching for non-residents. So we saw that throughout the survey as well. Events and music, non-motorized water sports. A lot of comments related to having more accessibility to kayaks and stand-up paddleboard rentals, particularly. Again, marina store. Nothing. We had about 30 indicators that said, you know, we like it the way it is. Don't
change a thing.
Don't change.
Spend any money.
Family-friendly environment and activities. So as you can see, some of these themes and categories, they repeat, and you can see them mm-hmm. throughout the comments. Public dock is here. We currently don't have one. However, it was included in some of these responses about what the marina should continue to offer. And then the other question that we analyzed was what amenities, if any, should the marina stop offering? 140 folks said nothing. Mm-hmm. We like everything the way it is, just improve it, make it better for us. Mm-hmm. And again, in other, that was the 36 are in other. I want to go back and look at this category a little bit closer to see if I can mm-hmm. Take out some themes from there. But again, just random one type thing that...
Could fit anywhere.
Yes. Limit non-resident boat launch, slips, parking, and amenities. That was the third most mm-hmm. Mentioned item. 28 said water sports. 37 indicated that they do not want the city, that they want the city to stop offering long-term and unfavorable leases to the city. So we heard a lot of that. Dry stack and dry boat storage, there were some comments
stop
about...
Stop offering?
Correct.
Oh, okay. To you stop. Lump them together. I was going to say we don't offer dry stack.
Yeah. Yes, and I think some may have be referring to the dry boat storage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some comments indicated that it could be used for more parking. Mm-hmm. Inefficient parking. There were 7 folks that do not want a restaurant at the marina.
They own one elsewhere.
And one person said that they do not want a public dock there. So that's what we have. Again, this is preliminary. We want to go back through the data again and make sure that it's, you know,
this will be appended to the packet for the public?
Not yet,
okay.
Because it's not final.
Okay.
You know, but it will be expanded upon in that report, and once it's distributed to council, we'll put it on the website as well.
Perfect. Yeah.
I just wanted to make, you know, we've been working on it for about 2-3 weeks. I hope it. I wish it would have been a quicker turnaround, but
it's a lot of information.
It is. I mean. Over 300 comments to go through each one and digest. So I wanted to just give you an update on that.
A great summary, thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You have any comments on that? Any? Okay.
No, thank you. We'll go back and we'll go over this and maybe expand a little more during our report.
Mm-hmm.
City Council. But definitely looking forward to get this.
Yes.
On the line.
Online?
Online.
I don't think that's the same.
It is. It's a joke. Okay. Miscellaneous business. Nothing there. I do have executive. Next meeting date is April 2nd. Anybody have a problem with that one?
Nope.
We do have executive session.
Need a motion to go into executive session.
We need a motion to go into executive session in accordance with Section 30-4-70A2 for discussion of negotiations incident to the proposed contractual arrangements related to the marina restaurant lease, and upon returning to open session, council may or may not take any action discussed in executive session.
And you're also receiving legal advice.
And receiving legal advice on that section.
I will make a motion to go into executive session and not repeat what he just said.
Perfect.
Second?
Second.
All's in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're going into executive session. No action taken. In the time is 6:51. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.